Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. And we'll be thinking about keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's what we want to discuss this morning. Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I was so glad to hear just a few moments ago that our elders want to dedicate a part of this evening's service to prayer for our nation. Because, you know, right now we are very divided in this nation. I think everybody's very well aware of that. And division is something that always brings a tremendous amount of turmoil and trouble and all kinds of different problems that result from it. Of course, there is a different story that the Lord has for the church and His people. And that story is one of unity. And in order to have unity, we've got to work for it. If we want unity within our nation, we're going to have to work for it as well. But unity is not promised to the nation, although it would be something desirable, something that would be wonderful to have, and something that's very beautiful if we could achieve that. But unity is not promised by God for the nation. But unity is something that God has commanded the church to think about and to practice and to work toward each and every day. And so that's what I would like for us to think about this morning, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3, we have these words. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's the expression right there. Endeavoring, that is, making an effort at something. And what is that something that we're making an effort at? And working toward, that is, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It is something that we must strive to do. It is not simply something that's going to happen automatically. Unity is worth working for, and we need to be a people who are going to work for it. Now, when I think about how we have unity, the Bible answers that question as well. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, which will be the text for our lesson this morning in looking at these three points that Paul sets forth in this verse, we see, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment. We are commanded to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How do we do that? And this verse right here answers that question. First of all, we've got to all speak the same thing. Secondly, we've got to make it so that there's no divisions among us. And third, we've got to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. And we'll talk about what those things mean here in a moment. But let's look at this text and let's look at these three points that are in this text, thinking about how we're going to obey the command to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. First of all, we must keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace by speaking the same things. Speaking the same things. And speaking the same things means that there has to be one standard. One standard. Notice that the command is that we all speak the same thing. And we can control what we say. Now, James tells us that the tongue is a deadly evil full of poison. And we often lose control of our tongue. But the fact of the matter is that we can control what we say. We can control how we speak. And we can all work to be on the same page as to what we are going to speak. But as I mentioned, speaking the same thing requires one standard. And that standard is Jesus. Jesus is the standard. Now, when we say Jesus is the standard, we mean, you know, the example of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the life of Jesus, what Jesus revealed through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, all of those things, okay? So we're not just limiting it to what I think Jesus is or what you think Jesus is. This is the Word of God we're talking about here. But Jesus said this. He said he was the standard here in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So just in case you don't understand, Jesus is the standard for what we ought to speak. And so in understanding that, then we turn to 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17 and recognize that everything that has been revealed in the scripture then tells us about Jesus. And it helps us to understand that God hasn't just left this idea up to us in a subjective way, but he's given us objective truth in his word that we can study and learn, and then we can all agree upon to speak. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Notice this, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that is a universal statement. We have everything that we need in order to speak the same things. And so speaking the same things, first of all, requires one standard. But then secondly, speaking the same thing requires humility. I have got to check my own pride when it comes to speaking the same thing. Because it's not about my opinion or your opinion or someone else's opinion. It's about what the Word of God says and what the Word of God teaches. And we've got to discuss it. We've got to talk about it. And we've got to get on the same page with the Word of God. So I've got to check my humility or check my pride. If I don't check my pride, then I may very well cause a problem by wanting to speak something that the Bible does not say. So notice Proverbs 3 verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And Philippians 2 verses 2 and 3. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. What does the Word of God say? That's what we should be concerned about. And we need to have a humble attitude in order to let the Word of God speak to us, and without our preconceptions, without our prejudices, without our own think-sos. And that's what humility means when it comes to speaking the same things. If we're going to speak the same things, we need one standard. We have that standard. That standard is Jesus and his word. If we're going to speak the same things, we need humility. And to have humility, I've got to check my pride. But speaking the same thing, third, requires patience. It requires patience. We've got to allow people time to think and to work through things and to understand and then to apply to their lives the things that we say and speak. And that means that we've got to be patient with one another. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Long suffering. It takes time to speak the word. It takes time for people to hear the word. It takes time for us to process what we've heard. It takes time to understand that. It takes time to get on the same page with one another. Yes, we've got to speak the same things, but we've got to be patient and long suffering in order to do that. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2 tells us there's going to be some problems sometimes, and we're going to need to address those problems in a personal way but with a patient and loving attitude. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so patience is necessary to speak the same things. But then secondly, as we think about maintaining or keeping or endeavoring for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, in order to do that, we've got to not have divisions. Not have divisions, okay? And divisions come in a lot of different ways. But let's just note again, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, this is the how of maintaining the unity of the Spirit. How do we do that? Number one, we all speak the same thing. How do we do that? Number two, that we have no divisions among us, right? No divisions. So that's the second how. So how do we make it so we don't have any divisions? Well, first of all, I want to say this, that, you know, talking about an issue does not necessarily imply divisions, okay? Talking about something, that, and we may not agree initially, but then we may work through it. There may be something that we don't understand. There may be a piece of information that we're missing and causes us to see it from a different light. But then finally, when we talk about it and we work through it and we can agree upon it, we can speak the same thing, that's not division, all right? That is working through things. That is trying to do what is right. That is not division. But what is division? Well, first of all, division is that we don't have any false doctrine. That is, we have division when we allow false doctrine to come in to the church. And so we can't allow false teaching to go unchecked. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." How do we do that? We've got to check what the teachers and the preachers are saying against the Word of God. And again, I am open to scrutiny at any time. I am available to talk and to meet. I do not hold myself above being scrutinized. I do not hold myself above being criticized. And if the Apostle Paul would not do that in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, when the Bereans, who were more noble than those in Thessalonica, searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things he taught were so, then I am equally susceptible to that. And I don't hold myself above any of that. And so I urge you and I exhort you to test what I am saying against the Word of God. And if it is not the Word of God, then I expect you to come and to correct me with the Word of God. I want that conversation because I want to speak what the Word of God says. And I want us all to speak the same thing and all to have unity with one another. So we've got to test. We've got to challenge. And why is that? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And false doctrine is the number one source of divisions in the church. False doctrine is the number one source of divisions. So we must not allow false teaching to go unchecked. Notice Romans chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." And so, with smooth words and flattering speech, many people can be deceived. And that's not how I want to operate, and that's not how we ought to operate with one another. We need to tell the truth with one another, be honest and open with one another. And love, you see, if we love one another as God wants us to, love will conquer all of the problems that might arise as a result of our telling the truth with one another. Love tells the truth, and then we deal with that truth in an honest and open way. And that's how we're supposed to work through things together. So we must not allow false teaching to go unchecked. That's the number one cause of division in the church. But then also another cause of division is not allowing each person his or her own opinions. Now there is truth, and there's what the Bible teaches, and we've got to stick with that. But then there is another area of opinion. And the Bible says that there are times when people can have their opinions. It doesn't disallow people from having an opinion, but we've got to understand the difference between doctrine and opinion. Those are two different things. Doctrine is what the Bible teaches and what we need to know in order to be saved, in order to worship correctly, in order to organize the church correctly, in order to practice the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to practice. That's doctrine. Opinion are matters of scruples. You know, what color is the carpet going to be? Or how is the building going to be painted? Or when are we going to put the new roof on? Questions like that. And I'm not making any suggestions. Don't get me wrong. The carpet, the walls, the roof is perfectly fine as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to cause any issues there. But those are matters of opinion, right? They're matters of opinion. And we can work through matters of opinion all day long. If it's a matter of opinion, we need to allow people different opinions. And we need to understand that what we're dealing with are just opinions and not doctrine. When we start to turn opinions into doctrine, and we start to turn doctrine into opinion, we get into an awful fix, and we cause a tremendous amount of division within the Lord's church. We've got to let doctrine be doctrine, and we've got to let opinion be opinion. And so as Romans 15, verse 1 says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Yes, people are going to have their own opinions. Let them have their opinions and let them enjoy those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And this is our attitude, you see, that we need to have in reference to a lot of different personal opinions that a lot of people have. And you can have an opinion, and I can have an opinion. And guess what? We don't have to agree when it comes to opinions. You can say that the water tastes fine, you know, and I can say I don't like the taste of the water. Maybe I drink bottled water. Maybe you prefer tap water. That's great. You know, we can respect one another's opinions in that regard. And so we must not force opinions on others. And then finally, when it comes to not having division, we need to practice forgiveness, because that will go a long way toward working toward that unity, bringing that unity together, and understanding that yes, sometimes when we talk about doctrine, things are going to get kind of touchy, and we're gonna, you know, we might have to work through some things when it comes to that. And we might have to one person take one side, another person take another side, and study it out until we can come to the right conclusion with when it comes to doctrine and understand exactly what the Bible is teaching in that regard. But then when we've done that, it's time to move on. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about practicing forgiveness. We're talking about moving on. And when it comes to opinions, sometimes people disagree about opinions. But we've got to be forgiving with one another. We've got to move on from that. And that will help us to have unity as well. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Colossians 3 and verse 13. And so we need to have forgiveness. So in that second point, you know, we think about what do we need to do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, not have any divisions. Number one, by not having any false doctrine. Number two, by letting people have their opinions. And number three, by practicing forgiveness. But then that third point, having the same judgment, having the same judgment. And this perhaps is the hardest of the three, because it means that we've got to get on the same page as to what is truth and what is error, number one, and then what is opinion and what can be permitted and what will not be permitted in regard to being together, being united as the church. And this means we've got some work to do. So, and again, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, to have the same judgment, to be joined together with the same judgment, you know, we've got to understand that this is not about mere agreement. It's not going along to get along, as some people do sometimes. We've actually got to take an interest in these things, and we've got to think, and we've got to work through some things together. And that can be difficult work to do. That can be hard work, because it involves our putting forth of ourselves to others. You know, it's so easy sometimes to kind of shield ourselves, to put on a mask, to say, you know what, I'm not going to involve myself with others. I'm just going to sit back and just kind of put this bubble around me and isolate myself emotionally from other people and go along to get along, you know, as much as I can. And then if something happens that I don't like, and ultimately, you know, that's probably going to happen, then I tell you what, and my little bubble gets popped somehow, then what am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to take my ball and go to another playground. You know, I'm going to go play somewhere else, and I'm not going to be there anymore. Well, that's not the attitude of having the same mind and the same judgment. That's the attitude of I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of what everybody else does. But to have the attitude of the same mind and the same judgment means that I've got to actually put myself out there. I've got to make an effort. I've got to get involved. I've got to talk to others. I've got to listen to others. And we've got to form a relationship with other people, a real relationship, not just a superficial one, but a real relationship. And when we think about what the Bible teaches about this, look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, for example. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we've got to speak as the oracles of God, and God wants us to be united. He wants us to love each other. He wants us to be together as his people. And when we speak, then we've got to be thinking, okay, how does God... You know, we've got to let our thoughts be molded by the Word of God is what we've got to do. 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 17 and 18, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. And ultimately, you see, that's what it's about. It's about who the Lord commends. It's about who the Lord approves. It's about what the Lord wants, not what I want. And that needs to be the final attitude. So we're not just doing things to get along for the sake of agreement. We've got a standard, and we need to follow that standard. And we've got one Lord, and we need to follow that one Lord. And we need to let his life and his attitude and his teaching infuse our lives, so that then as we form these relationships with other people, they are relationships that are formed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must communicate in that regard. And this is what I was getting at a little bit earlier. As we have the same judgment, first of all, we don't agree just for the sake of agreement. We've got to work at it. But then to do that, we've got to communicate with each other. We've got to talk about the issues that the Bible says. We've got to talk about what's going on, how to apply the things the Bible teaches. In Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so we've got to get together and we've got to discuss and talk and work through things. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 15, verse 22. And, you know, maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is a job. It's a work. It's not something that just happens. And sometimes I think that we check off our list of things to do, right? Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, you know, Wednesday night worship or Bible class, whatever. You know, watch the program, do this, do that, read the bulletin, check off our little list of things to do, and then we don't think anything else about it. But that's not what the Bible is saying we do to have unity. The Bible is saying to have unity, we have got to get involved in each other's lives, and we have got to be personal, and we have got to have relationships. And that's why we have these verses like this about the multitude of counselors. You know, what does it take to have a multitude of counselors? Well, you've got to bring people together and you've got to talk to each other and you've got to listen to what they say. And then you've got to evaluate what they say. Well, that's all a lot of hard work. You know, that's not easy. That's not just saying, okay, here's my checklist and I'm going to check my checklist off and I'm going to be done with it. It's more than just that. And that is something that we need to pay attention to, because having the same judgment is work. Having unity is work. And we've got to communicate with each other. And we've got to agree. And we talked about opinion a while ago, but just one more thought on that. We've got to agree as to what is opinion and what isn't opinion. And that task in and of itself can sometimes be very difficult. But Romans 14:1 and Romans 14, verse 22, though this passage teaches us that, yes, there are matters of opinion and then there are matters of doctrine. And we've got to respect doctrine as doctrine and we've got to respect opinion as opinion. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Romans 14, verse 1. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Romans 14 and verse 22. And that discussion about what is an opinion, what is an opinion, is a discussion that we need to work on and that we need to work together on. And so the unity of the Spirit, you know, it is something that we've got to keep. It is something that we are commanded to do, and we can accomplish that if we will take 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 seriously. And we will note that those three things that he talks about there, that we speak the same things, that we not have division, and that we have the same judgment. If we do these things, then we will have unity. The church needs to have unity, and we need to work for that unity. We can be a bright, shining light to the world when it comes to unity, because there's so much disunity in the world. And people want to have unity. People want to be engaged with one another. They want to have relationships, and they want to base their relationship on something that's real, not something that's false or fake. And the Bible has the answers to these questions and the answers to these problems that we face in our society. And by listening to the teaching of the Bible, practicing it, and taking it to others, we can really affect real change in the world around us through the church. And that's something that we need to think about doing. But it starts first with us. We've got to look at ourselves first as to what unity is and how we have it. And so we need to obey this command. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And maybe this morning you're thinking, well, I would love to do that. I want to do that. I want to be part of an organization that is committed to doing that. And the church is committed to doing that. The elders are committed to this. The deacons are committed to this. I am committed to this. And I hope you are as well, as members of the church, committed to having unity with one another. It is God's plan. It is God's design. It's what God wants. That's why Jesus shed his blood on the cross, so that we could come together in one body in the church and be united to restore what sin destroyed in the Garden of Eden. We restore that in the church. And that is such a beautiful picture. But ultimately, it is only the church that is going to accomplish that for all eternity. And so we invite you to add yourself to our congregation here through hearing God's word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus is the Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can be added to the body of Christ and become a member of the local body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, and be part of that group that's committed to unity and that's committed to going to heaven together. And that's what we want to do. And maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace is something that we work toward each and every day. And you can commit your life to doing that this morning. Or maybe you haven't had the attitudes that we need to have in order to have unity. And you're thinking, yeah, I could use the prayers of the church in that regard. And this morning, if you would like to ask for those prayers, we will pray with you and for you. And so whatever your need may be, we invite you to make it known now, while together we stand and while we sing.